Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
You're not feeling well? You twist your ankle? Or you have that pain in your shoulder that just doesn't go away? There is an alternative to the emergency room. It's a Peace Health walk-in clinic. There's no appointment necessary, and you may have to wait, but you could see someone today. It's open 6 days a week in the 380 building just across from Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. The Peace Health Walk-In Clinic, your local health partners.
At some point in her life, one out of every eight women will get breast cancer. One out of eight. Most women can beat it, but only with early detection. Don't let breast cancer stop you. Mammograms save lives.
Better total care. Peace Harbor Imaging now has digital mammograms. Get one.
On this edition of Doc Talk, we're talking with Dr. William Foster in the emergency department over at Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. A little bit different topic, though, this month. We're going to talk more about some summertime issues that come up, because summer's a very active time for folks usually, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, certainly we can get busy in the winter sometimes if the flu season is high, but typically our busiest months are in the summer.
And is it mainly because of recreational activities, or is that just a part of it?
I think that's the biggest part in the increase. I mean, there's the baseline, you know, people still, you know, exacerbations of their COPD or congestive heart failure, heart attacks or appendicitis,
right.
But there's certainly more people in town, and so they can have medical problems. But then we'd see a lot more what you might call summertime, you know, more accidents. People are outside. They're more active.
Everything from stubbing their toe on a stump and breaking that to falling down or falling
right.
off their motorcycle.
Yeah. I mean, certainly there's more people at the dunes. There's more people out hiking, more people at the beach, more people swimming. And so, yeah, we see more accidents in the summertime.
What are some of the most common injuries that we see?
Well, certainly, you know, falls of various types. Those can just be, you know, from hiking and tripping, or they can be from, you know, being on the dunes, either on motorcycles or quads.
I mean, this morning, it's just so funny because we're talking here today. This morning, I didn't turn the light on in my house, and I kicked a piece of metal that was on the floor, skimmed the top of my foot off, started bleeding. So,
right.
I mean, even some simple things like that, I guess, happen on a regular
right.
basis.
They can have it on a regular basis, but certainly in the summertime, people are outside, you know, hiking more and stuff like that.
Now, what are some of the things that people could do? Obviously, you just have to watch where you're going a lot of times when you're out there. But what are some of the things that folks can do to kind of minimize injuries when they're out, especially doing recreational things?
Well, if we were talking about like hiking or something like that, wearing good, sturdy shoe wear is important. It's amazing how many people are clamoring over rocks and sandals. And I get that. But at the same time, you know, some sandals actually give pretty good support. But I mean, you are more exposed and stuff like that. Certainly, you know, if you are a little bit older, a lot of people use walking sticks now or, you know, mm-hmm. trekking poles or whatever to give some stability, because a lot of the trails around here are not nice paved. You know, they can be pretty, you know, uneven with roots and stuff. So having a walking stick can be quite useful. Talking about a patient a number of years ago, elderly man was, you know, active. You know, this is somebody who walked every day, was out on one of the local trails here, tripped, fell forward, and just because of his age and, you know, stuff, actually broke his neck and did some damage to the spinal cord and was paralyzed. He's laying there on the trail, not able to move his arms and legs
wow.
when he was found by other people. I think ultimately, he had a pretty good recovery, but again, you know, just happened to fall in the wrong way, you know.
Well, and I guess planning should come into that too, because I know there's been times when I've just gone out to do something, and then saw an opportunity to take a short hike or something and really wasn't planning on it.
Right.
So I might not have had the right equipment. So.
Right. And so, I mean, that, but then the other thing is letting somebody know where you're going. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to tell all the details, but I mean, if you're going to be gone for a day hiking, especially by yourself, it might be good to let somebody know where you were at and what time you were expected back, because you can't count on cell phone service, you know, in a lot of the areas
here.
around here. And so you could be relatively close to town, but still out of cell phone service. So letting somebody know where you went. So, I mean, that's the whole hiking thing. I mean, just watching your step, you know, being prepared, you know, if it might be longer than you think, maybe having a, you know, flashlight with you or something so you don't get stuck out at night and can't see and stuff. But
is it important, obviously, carry water, I would imagine?
Well, yeah. I mean, water, maybe some food. I mean, if you're just going for a few hour hike, you know, there's probably less of that, you know, but the Boy Scouts, the Sierra Club, a lot of outdoor organizations talk about, you know, the 10 essentials, you know, a map, a compass. Can't always count on your GPS on your phone because phone might not work.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know, water, you know, maybe a whistle. You know, if you're injured, fall off the trail, you can blow that, you know, to get some attention and stuff.
All right, we're talking with Dr. William Foster on this edition of Doc Talk about, you know, what to do out when you're out and about doing some recreational activities or things like that. So we'll be back in just a moment. Talk more.
You're not feeling well? You twist your ankle? Or you have that pain in your shoulder that just doesn't go away? There is an alternative to the emergency room. It's a Peace Health walk-in clinic. There's no appointment necessary, and you may have to wait, but you could see someone today. It's open 6 days a week in the 380 building just across from Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. The Peace Health Walk-In Clinic, your local health partners.
At some point in her life, one out of every eight women will get breast cancer. One out of eight. Most women can beat it, but only with early detection. Don't let breast cancer stop you. Mammograms save lives.
Better total care. Peace Harbor Imaging now has digital mammograms. Get one.
We're talking with Dr. William Foster on this edition of Doc Talk about recreational activities and how to minimize or even avoid injuries. But I want to go back to, we were talking about water earlier, and I know with me and with the amount of water I drink, I don't drink enough water. I mean, I totally admit that. So if I go on a hike, I'm already probably starting out a little bit dehydrated.
Right, probably. And, you know, here on the coast, we don't think it's hot. I mean, this week it's, you know, very hot, you know, in the valley, and it's been warm here. But, you know, yeah, when it's 100 degrees out, we realize it's hot. I need to drink water. When it's 60 or 70, we don't think of it as much. But if you're still sweating, you're going for several hours, you could potentially get, you know, dehydrated. If you're out in the sun, you know, hiking on, you know, the beach or a ridge where there's not shade, that's just going to worsen that. So, you know, keeping hydrated is important, and that includes, you know, any kind of summer activity, even being out on the boat all day on the lake, you know.
So what is the latest philosophy as far as hydration? Is it water and water the best, or is it any fluids? I mean, because I know some things are, you know, actually rob you of, you know, some of the things.
Right. I mean, probably water is the best. Or if you don't want to do water, the next best thing would be a balanced electrolyte, you know, that doesn't have too much sugar, but some sodium, some potassium. Most of the sport drinks are okay, but some of them aren't as good as you think they would be, that
right.
They have more sugar than they really should. But certainly, you know, things like alcohol and, you know, carbonated beverages, those aren't going to hydrate. They will to some extent, but their pluses are, you know.
But I always heard there's also pluses and minuses with like coffee and tea, right? Because
right.
of the caffeine and everything.
Right.
So how does that play into it? Is it good or bad?
Well.
Or just what's the general consensus?
You'd be best off drinking water or some kind of electrolyte, right. You know, sports drink. Yeah, if you were thirsty and you only had a thermos of coffee, that's going to be better than drinking nothing.
Right.
But
still, water is probably the best.
Water or a sports drink.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So when we get out on, when we get out, say, on the dunes, and let's start with ATVs. Obviously, there's a lot of safety equipment in ATVs now that the way they're making them, but there's things like motorcycles that may not be the same way. What are some things that people can do to be safe when they're riding in those and avoid a hospital visit?
Well, certainly always wearing a helmet. You know, I mean, that goes without saying. If you're riding a motorcycle, and this applies to bicycles and probably skateboards, you should wear a helmet. We can fix a lot of other stuff. You break your arm even bad, we can fix that. You crack a bunch of ribs and puncture a lung, we can fix that. You know, even if you have internal bleeding, we can probably fix that. But the brain is pretty unforgiving. Yeah, I mean, if you have blood in the brain, you might get an operation and that might help. But there's far less room for error hitting your head.
Well, and even, but people like say they're in caged ATVs. They think, well, you know, I'm not going to fall out. I'm bound in there, and I'm not. But they could even hit their head with inside that, right?
Right. Potentially, they could. If it tipped over, they could, you know, hit their head against the side. I mean, I don't think the regulations are that you wear a helmet in a caged ATV, but certainly on a motorcycle or right. bicycling, you know, a helmet goes without speaking. The other things are, you know, following the regulations about speed and stuff. And then, you know, certainly, you know, not mixing alcohol.
That's always a good idea.
And that applies to bicycles as well as motorcycles and you know, and quads, and so on. You know, most of the accidents we see quad-wise are people going too fast for the conditions. They come up over a, you know, brim or a hill or something, and it's a steeper downhill or more of a drop off than they expected, and they lose control and fall.
Well, and also I believe the common theory is, well, not the common theory, but the common practice is, even if you've been on the dune the day before,
right.
it may be different the next right. day with winds and the way things right. shift. So you can't right. depend on it being the same every day.
Right. So, I mean, those are typically the, you know, accidents we see, or people coming over a rise. It's a bigger drop-off or something, and they lose control and fall off their quad. And, you know, we see a lot of broken bones, some lacerations, and occasionally the more serious, you know, injury, punctured lungs, laceration of the liver or spleen, just from, you know, significant blunt force hitting something.
So obviously, yeah, like you said, keep alcohol out of the equation, keep your speed down to an acceptable. I know people like to get on the dunes, they like to be adventurous, they like to go really fast, but that's not always the smartest thing to do.
Right. And, you know, I mean, wearing protective equipment's going to help some. I mean, sand is somewhat more forgiving than like riding on the street in asphalt, but it's still hard, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
All right, now what about water sports and things like that?
Well, there's a couple of things when it comes to water sports. I mean, certainly, you know, wearing a life jacket, you know, if you're out boating or doing other things, you know, a lot of people say, well, I know how to swim good. Well, I'm not, you know, the regulations are you don't have to wear a life jacket, you know, all the time, but you need to have one and stuff. And if you can't swim, you probably need to have it on, or if you can't swim well. Water temperature can be deceptive, you know, not only in the ocean, but in the lakes, especially early on. I mean, as the summer goes on, the lakes do warm up.
Right.
The ocean never does. But, you know, cold water, you know, that water hits you when you fall out, and, you know, it's kind of a shock to you. And
even really good swimmers
right.
can be affected by that.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, we don't have – our streams here are pretty mellow, but, you know, more in the valley, you know, it's hot on Memorial Day and people think it's hot, but it's still snow melt water. And, you know,
right.
there's, you know, always a fair number of drownings early in the year just due to the cold water that hits people. And even though they're good swimmers, it overcomes them and stuff. And then there's always the potential for sneaker waves any time of the year. I mean, yes, they're probably more common in winter with big storms, but they can happen any time.
Yeah, and there's always, there could be debris in there, and that's one of the worst things, you know.
Right, right.
Like our commercials say, you know, that big log got there somehow, you know,
right.
It didn't show up, just, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, in every year or two, there's people, you know, knocked off of rocks and drowned, or there's people hit by sneaker waves or other, you know, debris that, you know, they would have never said, oh, this is dangerous. You know, it's a flat beach, you know. It's
right.
Not like they're going, you know, way out on some rocky point where waves are crashing all over. It looked pretty benign.
What about some of the other activities? You mentioned bicycles, wearing helmets, and skateboarding and stuff like that. Obviously, there's places to and not to do things like skateboarding, obviously.
Right.
More of areas that are not filled with human traffic, because not only can you hurt yourself, you could also hurt somebody else.
Right, right. So, I mean, skate parks are a great place to skateboard. Other places, yeah, I mean, kids skateboard all over the place, but, I mean, you do have to watch out for other people. Another area we didn't talk about is just, like, camping. There's a lot of things that can potentially go wrong with camping. Campfires are an issue. I mean, not so much from people getting burned, but that does happen. You know, people trip and fall into a campfire. So
usually alcohol is involved in that.
Alcohol is often involved. I mean, I don't want to tell too many stories, but, you know, sometimes alcohol makes people do fairly stupid things. I remember some people out, you know, riding their motorcycles, campfire, and one of them thought, it would be interesting, what would happen if I just put some gas in my mouth and spit it on the fire?
Oh, no.
And, you know, the person got pretty significant second-degree blistering burns to the face. Not life-threatening, but, you
right.
know, painful. And then his friend burned his hands some, and that was trying to put out the fire on the guy's face.
Why do people do? You see the fire shooters that blow the chemicals out of them. But of course, it's not gasoline; it's something else. You go, well, yeah, I can do that. And then next thing you know, you're on fire. Yeah.
And then other things, you know, camping are, you know, poison oak is always a concern. Not life threatening, but I mean, it can
certainly
make
a pretty
uncomfortable rash. And then. And then insect bites. I mean, whether it's mosquitoes, hornets, yellow jackets, potentially ticks. We don't have a lot of ticks here compared to other areas, and there's not a lot of Lyme disease in the area compared to other places. But, I mean, certainly biting insects can be an issue, both from just local reaction to the bite, possibly the bite getting infected as well. Less right. likely.
We're talking about how to keep yourself safe this summer with Dr. William Foster. We'll be back in just a moment on this edition of Doc Talk.
You're not feeling well? You twist your ankle? Or you have that pain in your shoulder that just doesn't go away? There is an alternative to the emergency room. It's a Peace Health walk-in clinic. There's no appointment necessary, and you may have to wait, but you could see someone today. It's open 6 days a week in the 380 building just across from Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. The Peace Health Walk-In Clinic, your local health partners.
At some point in her life, one out of every eight women will get breast cancer. One out of eight. Most women can beat it, but only with early detection. Don't let breast cancer stop you. Mammograms save lives.
Better Total Care. Peace Harbor Imaging now has digital mammograms. Get one.
We're talking with Dr. William Foster about how to keep safe during the summertime when you're out doing recreational activities or out camping or something like that. I guess it's probably good for people to have a first aid kit.
Right.
And I guess you can either buy one or you can make one, right?
Right. And in a first aid kit, I mean, one of the important things to have would be some dressings. You know, so if you get a laceration, you got a cut. What do? It's kind of a trick question. I always ask people this. You know, what's the best way to clean out a wound? People will say, oh, put on alcohol, betadine, water. And I go, well, yeah. The best thing to do is let it bleed a little bit. I mean, bleeding cleans out a wound as good as anything. Mm-hmm. After that, plain water, but at some point after it's bled a little bit and you've cleaned it, you want to put a clean dressing and wrap it up. Now, that might be enough. It might need sutures, but having some, you know, gauze, something you could wrap up a cut with would be a good thing. Other things in a first aid kit would be maybe like an ACE wrap if you've sprained a wrist or an ankle to give some support. Probably don't need to have splint material, but there is, you know, if you're going more away from the road or something, maybe having some splint material to make a splint if somebody possibly breaks an arm.
And then of course, if you have the bandage, I guess you can always find a couple sticks.
Right, you could do that. And then the other thing in a first aid kit is just some basic medicines, you know, some Tylenol, some ibuprofen, some Benadryl, you know, some antibiotic ointment, things like that.
Maybe some pills to put in the clarify water?
I mean, water purification, especially if you're going for a longer water purification, is always an issue.
What about a tourniquet? I mean, is that, I guess you could do that with a bandage or?
Well, I mean,
you could always use a shirt or something.
Yeah. And probably for most lacerations and stuff, you don't need a tourniquet. You should be able to stop it with direct pressure. The place where, you know, a tourniquet could be used and, you know, a totally different subject is the gunshot wound. Mm-hmm. And actually, the ambulance district, Western Lane, has started, it's actually a statewide campaign, but it's called Stop the Bleed campaign. The idea of, you know, if you have a gunshot wound, you know, and you can't stop the bleeding with direct pressure, put on a tourniquet. Right. And I suspect that as time goes on, you know, we're used to seeing AEDs now in places. I think in those same boxes, there's going to be
some
tourniquets
to
put on. Because, I mean, that's something that can save a life. You know, just like AEDs, if somebody's heart isn't beating, potentially, you know, you shock them and their heart stops again, those tourniquets can really be life-saving. But that's really in the context of gunshot wounds. I mean, most
severe accidents, I guess.
Or severe accidents, yeah, potentially. I mean, you know, near amputation of a leg.
We had one of those happen down here on 126 a couple months ago.
Right.
Where that happened, and a man's life was saved because the first responder knew to put a tourniquet on it.
So, but generally most lacerations from falling and cutting your knee or
from outdoor activities, it's not going to be that.
The knife that slips doesn't need a tourniquet. One thing we could talk about is what happens if you do have a bad accident, you know, whether it's a quad accident or a fall up hiking. Well, certainly calling 911 and the ambulance will come. They are very well trained not only in handling medical emergencies but all kind of traumatic injuries. Based on a number of different criteria and what the injuries are, they always have the potential to call a helicopter right to the scene or nearby. If it's obvious that the person has a head injury, is unresponsive, there's very little that we're going to be able to do at Peace Harbor Hospital definitively for them. We can stabilize them, but most of that stabilization can be done by the paramedics as well. So if it's an obvious severe head injury, they might call for the helicopter to meet them at the scene on the dunes or close by and not even bring the patient to the local hospital. And the patient would be taken directly over to Riverbend, which is a level 2 trauma center. Our local hospital is just a level 4 trauma hospital.
And so, you mentioned calling 911 in case of not being able to do that with cell service or whatever. I guess knowing locations of the closest emergency facility. I mean, I imagine if someone had to stop at a firehouse before, instead of going to the hospital, that would probably be better than going an extra 10 miles or something.
Right, because most firehouses have at least, you know, basic, most of the firefighters are trained in basic, you know, emergency medicine technician level, maybe not paramedic, but certainly they have first aid training and could, you know, stop bleeding, apply a bandage, call the ambulance, things like that. If the ambulance brings you to the hospital or you come in by private auto, obviously there's lots of things we do in the emergency department to, you know, control bleeding, you know, deal with broken bones. And kind of depending on what the injury is, you might be treated and discharged. You might be admitted to the hospital. And potentially for more serious injuries, there's the possibility of transfer over to usually Eugene for a higher level of care where there's more specialists.
So I guess in summary, having the right equipment's important.
Right.
Whether it's shoes, vest if you're swimming, helmets if you're biking or motorcycling, right. That's very important. Staying hydrated is right. very important. And that does not include alcohol, right?
Right.
We'll keep alcohol out of the mix. So if you do smart things and you don't do stupid things, I mean, you should be pretty safe for the summer, right?
Right.
Dr. William Foster, thank you so much for coming in and giving us some tips on how to be safe this summer.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.